Hi, welcome back. I'm Dr. Barbara Byers, and today I want to talk about becoming trees of righteousness. Isaiah 61 paints a beautiful picture, and it says, "They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his glory." So oaks or terebinths are very sturdy trees. They're constantly growing and being formed over a lifetime. Some of them grow to 1,000 years or so. They have deep root systems, and the deep roots anchor them very securely so they can withstand a lot of seasons of hardship. These tenacious roots can grow to be 3 times the size of the tree's canopy. So a couple of years ago, I was on vacation in South Carolina near Charleston, and we were on John's Island and went to something called the Angel Oak. It was the most magnificent tree. It is 400 to 500 years old, 66 plus feet tall, 28 feet in circumference, and covered 17,000 square feet of shade. Isn't that amazing? And I thought of this scripture in Isaiah as I looked at the tree. You should Google it to see a picture of the angel oak. Trees are just some of my favorite things. I sit here in my study and I look out, and I have oaks that I'm looking out at. They were created from God's glorious imagination. And then we have this beautiful metaphor that says that we are these oaks of righteousness. They're symbols of strength and endurance and provision. They grow from tiny seeds that barely testify to the size and the power and the life that's going to be in that tree. An acorn does not look like a mighty oak. But that's who we are, and we're to be hardy and tenacious, established like Jesus in our character, learning to grow and abide in him and be those who persevere in the storms and eventually produce shade and produce fruit that come from that. So a tree comes to be from a seed. A seed has a hard outer shell, as in an acorn, and that acorn grows down and has to be broken open in the same way we have to be broken open, and our old life has to be broken open. There are tiny tissues inside that seed. One type of tissue is light seeking, so the tree shoots up toward the sunlight. The other type of tissue is light avoidant, so that's the one going down to form roots, and both are essential to the tree. The taproot can go twice as deep as the tree. So if you think about that angel oak that's 66 feet tall, it's over 130 feet deep in the ground, the taproot. And of course, the roots go much wider. Trees soak in the sun, take in the energy from the sun, convert it into usable energy for the tree that becomes sap. And the tiny tubes in the tree are like straws that go up and down and take sap to the roots and then up through the pipes. The bark on the outer part of the tree protects the pipes, and as the bark grows, it cracks to allow for that growth. The commerce of the tree is just underneath the bark. So every year the tree pushes out and forms these rings we see when the tree is cut down. The outer ring nourishes the larger and larger tree every year, and the inner part becomes strong and hardy. That's the hardwood, the center of the tree. And that's how we're to become. But we need deep and healthy roots in order to become stable and to continue to grow. So what can we do to enter this metaphor if this is indeed who we are? Well, first of all, we know our identity. We know that we're becoming oaks of righteousness. So we're tenacious. We know trust is required. Second, we allow and respond to pruning. And pruning can come in so many different forms: broken relationships, pressure, suffering, seasons of loss, seasons of hard winter and dry summers, season's seemingly barrenness, but they're all an invitation for us to trust. I was at a conference in Northern Carolina a few years back, and I was sitting outside eating my lunch during the break, and I noticed a young man very near me, and he had the smallest pair of little clippers. They were pruners, but I'd never seen anything so small. And he just stood there and looked at every branch and just carefully clipped what needed to be clipped. I always think of pruning as, you know, having big pruning shears and you lop off a branch. But, you know, God deals with us so gently and so carefully and so considerately. He knows what we need that will increase our growth, that needs to be pruned, that's hindering us, but also that needs to be pruned so we can produce more fruit. The third thing is positioning ourselves for growth. Well, how does a tree position itself? By abiding in the soil it's planted in, by agreeing to accept the nutrients from the soil and take in the sun, by willingly staying planted in that particular soil and extending the tree, the roots. Fourth thing is we learn to trust and rejoice in everything, even the seasons we don't anticipate. My friend Jenny Elder wrote a book, Secrets from My Secret Place, and she said, in the seasons of winter, if we had eyes to see beneath the surface of the trees, we would discover the sap that was once used to produce the fruit has gone down into the root system to nourish the most important part of the tree. It flows through the roots, pushing out new roots and forcing the old roots deeper and deeper into the soil. It is in their winters that the sap does its greatest work in the trees, strengthening the very foundation. In our winters, the exact same thing happens. In our difficult times, we often look at our lives, and because of our circumstances, we're left feeling barren, like nothing's happening. We often feel God's abandoned us, but if we only had eyes to see, we would know nothing could be further from the truth. It's during our winter seasons that God does his greatest work. It is in our times of adversity that we are forced by difficult circumstances to press into the very presence of God. And that's how we mature. So Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, but blessed is the one whose trust is the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. These are roots looking for water. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are green always. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Oh, this is who we are. Why do we ever worry? And then Psalm 1:3 says, blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So he has designed us to grow in him and to grow deep. And rest comes from settling into that, settling where we need to be, planted as a seed, buried to die to the old self and to emerge in new life, broken open so we can grow into a tree of righteousness. You know, that angel oak is magnificent now, but I do wonder what it looked like back when it was just sprouting up in the 1500s. Did someone plant it? Probably not. It's just probably a random acorn that dropped from another tree. So what hinders our growth? Well, an arborist wrote, there are threats posed by various diseases, and we know the primary disease is sin. Oaks face a myriad of challenges from microbial invaders, fungal intruders, bacteria, and a waterborne pathogen that causes sudden death. Also, some insects attack the leaves or the soft interior. So early detection and prompt intervention are crucial to safeguard the well-being of these iconic trees. So the very structural integrity of a tree really is compromised when it succumbs to one of these diseases or insects. And you can see it in the general decline of the appearance of the tree. And so we need to hone in on these cues in our life. It's why we so need one another in the body of Christ. We need others saying, what's the matter? It seems like you've lost your joy lately. What's going on in your life? We need trusted companions that help us stay the course. The arborist talked about intervention and prevention, and he said several things. One is safeguard. Safeguard your oaks. And we hear from scripture, Proverbs 4:23, that tells us the same thing. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Our beautiful soul can be eroded if we don't guard it. It's up to us to cultivate our sense of well-being and to meditate on the Lord day and night. Second, he said, timing is key. So we recognize what season we're in and what we need for our spiritual nourishment in that season. Third is we manage the spread. So as soon, it sounds like fat spreading, doesn't it? Oh. So as soon as we recognize something has kind of gotten a hold, sin, neglect, passivity, we get help. You know, 11 years ago, I bought the lot that my house is on, and I built it 10 years ago, and I designed it around this magnificent water oak in the backyard so the living room could look right out on it. I loved that big old tree. It was probably close to 100 years old. And I had been told the little house that was on the lot burnt down, and the tree caught on fire, and so there was some damage from the fire. Then, when they were clearing the lot, I told them to take a cottonwood down, and they let it fall on the big oak, and it knocked a branch off. No thank you. Then, a few years in, we had a terrible ice storm in Dallas-Fort Worth that took off another branch that hung way out over into the parkland. So finally, about, I don't know, 3 years ago, I was a little concerned about that tree. I was watching the leaves and the branches, and it seemed like more and more were dying. There was a tire swing for my grandkids. I did not want that branch falling, and I sure didn't want that tree falling on my roof. And so I hired someone to come and take it down. And when they cut it down, there was an enormous hole right in the middle of that tree, about halfway up. In fact, I have a photograph of one of my grandsons sitting on the ground in that tree in the hole, and it envelops him. I don't know what took it down, but I know the damage happened over a long period of time. Fourth thing is we strengthen our defenses. We stay in the Word. We stay current in prayer. We strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We stay in fellowship with others. Fifth is we keep disease at bay. So to me, this is recognizing our spiritual authority against the insects and the microbes and the fungus and the infection. Like an oak borer, all that insect has to do is get inside the bark, and it starts eroding that commerce between the lower and the upper parts of the tree. The sap can't get down and the minerals can't get up. So scripture uses trees. It begins with trees. The garden, we have the tree of life. It ends with the tree. In Revelation, we have the tree of the life with 12 kinds of fruit yielding in season. And it teaches us about who we are in Christ. You know, so much of a tree is the hidden internal life, but that's where the health is. Growth is slow. It takes place over decades. Growth is difficult, but if the root system is strong, the roots will actually push out, you know, they will crack a sidewalk, a driveway, a foundation of a house. Roots are strong, and they will start converting that into minerals that they use. But the hard and hidden things are good for us. And when we deal with difficult things, like we deal with relational conflict, or we put our hands to a work like writing a book, or we're pregnant, or we keep watch at night, difficult things we do, the fruit will be there. It will be ripe and juicy and beautiful because of this arduous, unseen work in the Spirit. So we have this calling to be oaks of righteousness, that others eat our fruit, enjoy our shade, rest under our canopy, and that we ourselves thrive for the display of his splendor. So I hope you begin to see yourself in this metaphor. Thanks for joining me.